broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Unfortunately, that's what happens sometimes. I mean, there's certainly going to be extenuating circumstances.
Do you think that Dick Cheney is weirdly helping Barack Obama?
Now, in this larger atmosphere, all these things sort of get ratcheted up to a level of maximum.
This committee wrote legislation that became law.
I am a clown.
Well, I hope you knew to use a condom.
World famous and groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. And on this particular night, we will be having here in a few minutes Mavis Leonard. She is a retired middle school and elementary school teacher on a story that is just as shocking as they get. As shocking, as unbelievable, and yet somehow weirdly believable. In this world that we live in, the story of two teacher's aides abusing a special needs student, and when you hear how, you will ask the usual questions that you should ask. How do these people get hired? Why are they hired? How are they vetted? And last night we were talking on the show, and I remember saying, you know all the training that cops go through. You know the, in fact, I might have been doing it on the pre-show. We actually have a live video feed of our show every night. You can go to our website and watch the show as we perform it. But about an hour before the show goes on the air, we do what we call our uncensored show prep hour. So you can join us as we talk a little bit more freely, shall we say, about some of the things we're going to be talking about. And I have to tell you that I was discussing with the audience last night. I said, you know, cops go through a training model that is about as rigorous for any individual outside of the Army to go through. They have to make sure that they don't do this. They don't do that. They don't do something else. They don't endanger this. Don't endanger that. They got to make sure. And we're talking about suspects, people that are arrested. People that are arrested and that are put into jail. Not that they're necessarily guilty, but police have to assume a certain level of danger and guilt because they're the ones making the arrest. They're the ones presenting the evidence. But they got to make sure they Mirandize them. They have to make sure that they don't necessarily have the cuffs too tight. They don't want to have the cuffs too loose. They don't want to make, you know, tase them. They don't want, you know, make sure that, geez, if you kill the guy, you know, no chokehold this, no taser that. And that's with a guy that you've just arrested, right? Now, do we have the same kind of, do we have the same kind of guidelines, shall we say, when it comes to how kids are treated? You know, do we put teachers through a similar training? We assume, well, the kids are innocent, and so no one's going to abuse them. But we don't, you know, we don't take into account the fact that some of those same people that the cops were arresting last week may be teaching in our schools, see? So the story goes as follows. Two teachers' aides face felony charges stemming from allegations that they abused special needs students in a Montana middle school classroom. Julianne Parrish and Christina Marie Callies are each charged with one felony count of assault on a minor and one misdemeanor charge of endangering the welfare of children after the Great Falls Police Department investigated this alleged December abuse of student Garrett Schilling. So the police, this boy was 13 years of age, the police investigated, and the police brought charges. These aides are accused of holding Schilling's head under running water after he fell asleep in class, forcing him to sit in soiled pants for hours, and making him eat his own vomit?
Man, that's got it. There's got to be something wrong with the, maybe they, it's a typo.
That ain't no typo, man.
You sure?
It ain't a typo. Made him eat his own vomit when he got sick at Great Falls North Middle School. Schilling's mother, Tiffany Schilling, said her son, who's now 14, has a condition called Fragile X Syndrome. It is a genetic disorder that leaves this child with limited means of communication and results in him showing symptoms often associated with autism. I wanted to play for you just comments that are made by multiple families here on this child. These are just a group of parents, families talking to the Associated Press, detailing abuses by these two teachers' aides against these special needs kids.
He was having waterboarding-like torture done to him on a frequent basis.
I am more than sure that he was locked in a closet.
She had been hit with pins and in the neck. She had a welt on her neck from that,
And she also told us that she got hit with a pan in the head.
Melanie came home on numerous occasions with bruises, bite marks, burnt fingertips, missing hair.
All right. Those are a group of parents talking about their kids. So this is more than one child we're discussing here. Schilling's mother was talking, this Tiffany Schilling, talking about her son's disorder. She said her son was never able to talk about the brutal treatment, alleged that he was receiving at the hands of his own teacher's aides, which they, the teachers, have denied. She went on to say, if the teachers thought Garrett was being lazy or falling asleep at his desk, they forcibly took my son to the kitchen sink in the room and forced his head underwater while he was screaming at his mother. And if he had an accident in his pants, as she puts it, he was made to sit in it all day. They would taunt him and say, you stink like a baby. If any of this stuff is true, one can only imagine the tortures of the damned that should be, I believe, suffered by these two teachers' aides. We're going to get on Mavis Leonard, who was a elementary school teacher and a middle school teacher for a great many years there at Joyful Union Middle School and Elementary School. And Mavis, thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm very grateful to be on your program, Phil.
What's your first reaction as a teacher when you hear this?
I don't know the particulars of this case. And I would not want to say anything that might not be the case. If what they are saying is true, I think they've got very, very carried away with trying to communicate this reflexive reality to an autistic child. And the autistic child does not live in the same reality you and I live in. And so there are different ways that you have to communicate with him. And I think they went way overboard. I think that making a child sit in his if he messed his pants or make him eat his own vomit, this is very wrong. I would say that these two women are just going, I'm telling you, way overboard on some of this stuff.
Well, you're talking about going overboard. In what way?
Well, there is a thing called a reflexive reality therapy. When you have an autistic child, little child like that, autistic children like they live underwater, you know. That's where they use water.
Autistic children are what?
To an autistic child, reality looks like it is like they're underwater almost. They can't see but clearly. Their senses are distorted, you see.
Okay.
And so sometimes a standard use, a standard procedure to use water to reorient the child to reality. But you give a little dunk. You don't waterboard a child like they say.
Well, I'm not sure if they were waterboarding this child. I mean, that's what the mother said. But putting the kid's head underwater, are you saying that to reorient an autistic child, sometimes you have to use water in some way?
You have to use it. You don't use it like these women did, but you do put the child, reorient that child by just take the head and push it down a little tiny bit, and then you bring them up and go. If the child had been misbehaving, if the child had been misbehaving, you take the head and push it in. And when bring the child's head out of the water, and you look at the child and you say, now that's where you, this is the world now that you in. The world looked like to you. Were you looking down there in that underwater and you're looking all? Well, now look at me. I don't look like a fish. I don't look like I live underwater, do I? And the child go, I understand, you know, and then you can sit them back down.
You're taking an autistic child.
That is correct, yes.
And you put their head underwater to say I know that's your reality.
That's your reality. I know. Look at you. I know all about your reality. And they'll look at you and you say, well, let me tell you how much I know about your reality. Look at this. And you take that head and just go in the water and then pull it down. See, is that the world you live in? And they go, yeah. You go, okay, so I know all about it. So I understand. And then they feel like you understand them. You see what I'm saying?
This is a very radical approach.
Well, I was the only, and a few other teachers on the West Coast, were the only people that used this technique for the longest time. It spread by word of mouth. From one school to the next. And there were rumors of it in the Northwest, and by car and by train or short commuter plane, people spread the word down out to Montana. But nobody really knew about it until now. These women have brought it on the front page of a newspaper, and they've made it look so wrong. That's not how you do it. And they make that child sit in his own mess. I think those teachers should be forced to sit in their mess. I would love to watch those teachers sit in their mess for what they've done to that child.
You have to understand, Mavis, I think Ms. Leonard, rather, excuse me.
Oh, that is all right.
That people are listening to you right now and are saying, are you telling me that you take an autistic child and you push their head underwater?
You're not putting that child's head underwater to drown that child. All you're doing is reorienting that child to the reality that he in a classroom. This is a classroom, so you can't go. One of the things an autistic child will do is exhibit a Tourette type of vocal demonstration. I could demonstrate. They yell out, you know.
Yeah.
And when they do that, you have to take them. All right, now see, you went ahead and you yelling out like you at a ball game. You're not at a ball game. So you take them over to the water, put their head down in that water until they, you know, get the message, and then reorient, and then put them back in the chair.
In their classroom, in their seat?
Yes, at their desk, yeah.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Mavis Leonard, a retired elementary school teacher. So you're saying that this was a technique that was used in California originally?
To my knowledge, it was used on West Coast. And by word of mouth, it was carried by word of mouth.
What do you mean by word of mouth?
No one really presented it at a teacher's conference because it was still very experimental. To be able to take an autistic child and push his head underwater, some teachers felt that was, this is very difficult for me to say, but some actually enjoyed it. And we said to them that you must disqualify yourself if you get a kick out of this.
They enjoyed it. That's like abuse.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That is right. And we told them, I can't have it. And once we weeded out the ones that probably would get some kind of a cheap kick out of it, and we got a regular teacher to teach them this technique, you know.
Well, so you hold the kid's head underwater for how long?
No, just you don't even hold a child's head underwater. You just do a quick, you take the head and put it in and then pull it out.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We talk with Mavis Leonard here tonight about this story. Two Montana teachers aides charged with abusing a special needs child, dunking this child's head underwater, making him sit there and soil his pants, making him eat vomit. Ms. Leonard has been talking with us about autistic children and the use of what she calls a reflexive reality therapy, where you do put the kid's head underwater to reorient him to reality. We'll get back to Ms. Leonard and your phone calls at 877-876-PHIL, and we'll be right back here on the groundbreaking, world-famous Phil Henry Show in a moment.
Phil Henry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Mavis Leonard on the line with us, who is a middle school, retired middle school teacher. When we talk about autism, and we are discussing a story here, two Montana teachers' aides charged with abuse of a special needs student after, they're calling it waterboarding.
Mr. Henry, waterboarding, I understand, is what the military has done to terrorists and people like that.
Yes.
We are not talking about waterboarding. Even these two women who do not deserve to be around a child, never deserve to be around a child ever again. I don't think they waterboard a child. They put that kid's head in a big bucket of water, that maybe one of them brought a bucket or a big plastic tub in from the house and fill it up. I could well imagine the two of them looking at each other and saying, let's have some fun today. You know,
so you think they're sadistic?
I have no question. I've been around those types. I've seen them, and I've seen them yet again. and they get their kicks. And that's why I said we try to keep them, because you have to know how long you take a head, you know, a kid, autistic kid, and you put that head in. You don't keep it in there more than a split second, just to kind of reorient and say to the child, okay, now, you know the world you in now. Here, I'm going to put your head down there. Now, whose world is it now, you know? And you say, my world, because I'm the teacher. But you're not torturing that child. You never, ever do that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, talking with Mavis Leonard here tonight on the issue at hand, which is the treatment of autistic children. I don't even know that I never even heard of such a method used. Here is Chris in Brooklyn, New York. Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on tonight?
Well, I'm listening to the program, and the lady sounds like a nut. If she's a teacher, she sounds like the same lady that says she tattooed Obama's pictures on the panty lines of some teenage girls in her class. If she's a teacher, she's a real nut.
I beg your pardon. I've never done any such thing.
Oh,
I never
yes,
said that.
I know that's the same person that calls every night.
I never did any such thing.
She's a nut.
Did you say you tattooed Obama's picture?
I never said anything in a story. And that woman,
that's the same person.
if you want to slander me or lie on me, that's fine. But I will tell you, I've worked with children my whole life. And I have never, ever tattooed a picture of Obama on a woman's ass. But that seems to be what that lady.
I don't know what she was talking about. You don't?
I don't know what she say that I tattooed a picture of Obama on a woman behind. I never did that.
877-876-PHIL. That's just probably some listener who is confused with another show. Here is Matt in Pensacola. Matt, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. First of all, I agree with the lady about, okay, the two ladies that did that to the child. I think that whatever they did to that child, first of all, should be done to them. I completely agree with that.
I think they should be made to sit in their own bowel movement.
I do too. However, I can't comprehend. My best friend's brother is autistic, and I cannot comprehend sticking his head underwater, whether it's for a split second, whether it's for 30 minutes, whatever it is. Who came up with that?
I'll tell you what that does, and I'll tell you, what is this man's name?
Yeah, his name is Doug.
Doug, what that does, an autistic child has a sensory problem. They have a difficult time using their senses. To them, the world almost looks as if you're underwater. It looks blurry, and you can't hear good, and you're always yelling. That's why an autistic child, you ever heard an autistic child go, something like that. You put that child's head in the water.
Maybe he's trying to communicate.
Well, let her finish here. I just want to know, why are you putting the kid's head in the water?
You put the child's head underwater to say, if you think you're living underwater now, I mean, I'm just using a phrase. If you think you're living underwater now, this is what it is. Boom. The head go in.
Okay, Doug, I'm sorry. I just wanted to hear the explanation.
I still don't understand.
What you say to the child is, you know, I know everything looked like you live in like in that movie about the fish. You know, I don't know what that movie called. Finding Nemo. You know that movie, Finding Nemo. Autistic child, everything looked like he Nemo. You know, let me tell you what Nemo.
Where did you learn this? Did you go to school?
This was a technique that was developed by Rosalie Bloxon, who was a teacher at a middle school here in Southern California. And by word of mouth, it traveled across the countryside.
Now, when you say word of mouth, so it wasn't shared at teachers' conferences.
Well, you try to bring it up at a teacher conference, they'd have you locked up. I'm sure you're well imagined. They take you, throw the key away, you know. So
it kind of makes sense.
Phone messages to each other.
It does. Yeah, I would be afraid to bring that up. I'd be afraid to bring it up at a teacher meeting too.
Because
the way we talk, we would by word of mouth that we'd leave a message on someone's machine, or leave a note for them. You know, here's what we do.
Now, I've had great success with autistic children by taking the head, I'll say, you know, here's your world. Now, there ain't no Nemo down there. See, it's just water. Then the head come up, and the head looks at you and said, now I understand, you know.
Well, you mean the child?
Oh, what if? I mean the child is looking at you.
All right. I got to take a break here, Doug. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Mavis Leonard here. It's a pretty complicated story about this. Well, we'll be back with Mavis. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
What part don't you understand about this?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Mavis Leonard from Joyful Union Congregation Elementary and Middle School. She is retired now, was teaching there for some 30 years. And I want to be very clear, Mavis, before we get back to our phone people calling in, and we are talking about this story that has got me, well, just disbelieving. Two Montana teachers charged with abuse of a special needs child, and more than one, by making the child sit in his own eliminations, okay? By making the child eat his own vomit, by dunking the child's head. This idea of taking an autistic child, and in one instance, this is a child who had Fragile X syndrome, which is symptomatic, shows the same symptoms as autism, of shocking the reality of a child. Is not dangerous?
Mr. Hendry, I have to get, I want to be very clear with you. I'm not trying to say anything here that hurt a child. I'll never hurt a child. You take a child, an autistic child's head, and you say that child, now I know you got your world, but whose world is it? You know, it's a colloquial phrase we use. You know, whose world? You in my world now, you know. And you put his head underwater and say, I know you've been living in Nemo land. Well, that ain't Nemo land. That's a bucket. That's a plastic tub of water. You know. And
I don't understand what you're saying, Nemo land.
I mean an autistic child living underwater, like he live underwater, you know.
That the reality of an autistic child is if he's underwater because of his sensory problems.
That's exactly correct. And you shock the reality by saying, now let's just take that head and give you a little peek at something Nemo ain't going to see. And that is a Nemo out living in the ocean. Let me tell you what. This is the way it is in my world. See, I got a swimming pool at home, and that your world too.
All right, 877-876-PHIL with Mavis Leonard here tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to another phone call. We have John listening in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. John, what's on your mind tonight? Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
I'm pretty ignorant on this subject, but to be honest, I had a mother who worked with the mentally ill for over 25 years, and I've never heard of anything like that. These are people that were
you understand that mentally ill people are different. Yeah, mentally ill people are different from autistic people. Autistic people are not mentally ill as you would describe them. They're in many instances their intelligence level is the same. Did your mother work with autistic children?
She did not. But what I can't understand
is
justifying dunking someone's head in water. If they're living in such a land like you say, then maybe you splash water on them. But dunking, I just. There has to be another way.
I tell you what, I don't mean to be a smart aleck, but why don't you go ask your mama? See what she doesn't know, see? So
she doesn't
me
know,
up.
But I still can't justify dunking a child's head underwater.
What has it got
reason?
To do with his mother?
Well, he said that his mother taught mentally ill children. I said that got nothing to do with what I'm
but
talking
these people
about.
No, we've established that.
These people were dangerous people and wouldn't go to those terms. These people were dangerous to not only themselves, but my mother and the people around them, and they would never think to do things like that. There has to be another way around this.
I understand that, but I can assure you, if your mother felt that she had been was at risk, and the way she could get herself out of, you know, if a madman was going to try to kill her, she'd drown him, lickety split.
My mother was in constant physical risk, and they were never. That was never an option. And I'm not saying that that might not be an option that would work, but I just, I think if we really focus on maybe...
Are you trying to tell me that if your mother, if a madman was,
Now you're saying they're madmen. They're not madmen.
All right. Well, no, no. You say your mama worked with madmen. If a madman like that, you've seen in a movie like...
that were dangerous.
Like Michael Myers. Like Michael Myers.
Like Michael Myers of what? Halloween?
Like in the Halloween. Your mother wouldn't take a gun and blow him to hell? I would.
Well, the job that she was given, she was not given that opportunity because there are laws and there are certain things that she's not allowed to do.
I think that's wrong. If you have Michael Myers, I'd blow him to hell and back.
You know,
I'm talking about
I don't know what kind of job your mama had, you know.
Well, look, let's get back to the subject of the autistic children. Yeah. The autistic children, is this a therapy that is acknowledged, is widely practiced, that another, as you say, to reorient the reality of an autistic child, to dunk his head?
I told you, Mr. Henry, and I told your listener and the people call in, that by word of mouth, it spread to the Northwest. And from there, it's an oral tradition.
What is an oral tradition?
One thing real quick. I just
what is an oral tradition?
This right here will shed some light on what's happening, and maybe this will make something positive happen to where we don't have to do these kinds of things.
Exactly.
Where we can,
I agree with you, sir.
Find
I don't want anybody giving a cheap
something
hit,
better
you know?
Than that.
Exactly. There's got to be something better. Thank you very much, John. 877-876-PHIL. What was the statement here about Michael Myers and...
That young man said that his mother worked with crazy, like a crazy man, like people are all nuts, you know. I said if a man came up to me in a rubber mask, like that man, Michael Myers, I'd take anything, like a 303, I'd have a 303, or like a deer rifle, you know. I'd put one right between his eye. Now, I know he'd get up again, because that's what he do. You know, in the movie, he always get up. But at least I take a chance. And
we're talking about a fantasy character here. You know, with Michael Myers.
Well, no, that man said his mama would never hurt Michael Myers. I'm telling you now, even if I knew he was going to get up, in a one movie where it blew up and he on fire.
It doesn't matter about Michael Myers. Let's get off that topic. We're talking about autistic children that don't deserve that kind of treatment.
I agree with you, Mr. Henry, but I was... trying to differentiate what that man was saying.
But to dunk a kid's head...
I'm not talking about taking a rifle and blowing Michael Myers' head like it looked like a pumpkin, you know, like it just blow it up. I'm talking about a little autistic student that is just doesn't get it and is slowing everybody down and dragging the whole party down. If you take that child and reorient him, you give him a little bit of a dunk. You look at him, see if he's wide-eyed. If he's looking at you wide-eyed, you're doing good. If he's not, if he's still looking at you like he's still living with Nemo, then you got to do it again. That's all I'm saying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. This is a technique that I'm not familiar with. Let me go over to Craig in El Paso. Craig, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's on your mind tonight, sir?
Miss Mavis and these two women up in Montana just go to show the point that we should have a psychological evaluation for anybody going into that field.
I have never abused a child. I take that very... You just insulted my professional ethic, my professionalism. I have never abused a child.
I don't know what
you're referring to. I come on this program, I said from the very beginning, I did not support what those women did. I didn't say it was right what they did. They make that child sit in his own... in the mess he make in his underwear.
I make those teachers
sit in their underwear.
That's all very well and good. However, you're advocating a therapy that has no empirical testing, no statistical support behind it.
He's going to use... get a load of him. I bet you... Here we go.
Madam, you're a part of academia?
Science, you know. Yes, I am. Yeah,
right.
But you're one of those people to come down from the university and try to try to tell us all this gobbledygook.
No, I'm not. I just would like to keep people with aberrant ideas, which could be turned into behaviors, away from the children. And I sure pray to God that this is shtick. I really do.
Yeah, you know what? I got the same question.
What is your question?
Are you kidding?
Am I kidding about what, Mr. Henry?
Are you kidding about taking autistic children and dunking their heads underwater?
I have explained the method that we use and what the method is supposed to do in terms of reorienting that child's reality. If either one of you gentlemen know what autism is, which is a sensory problem, then you'd understand. And I would never joke about that.
Madam?
But the problem that we have here is it is a radical idea. You got a man on the phone here. I guess he thinks he's special because he got all these empirical this and that. I'm a teacher. I deal with children every day. I don't know where this gentleman come from. Does he deal with children, or is he just sitting looking at in a microscope, you know what?
I am a
thing,
physician.
A little squiggly thing underneath a microscope. You what?
I am a physician, and I also teach.
Well, did you ever hear the story of the man who walked too far? Have you ever heard that story?
No, I haven't.
The man walked too far, and he's about to walk off the edge of the earth. And someone said to him, if you use a map like I told you, you would have known where the world stopped, okay, and nothing began. And he said, that's not important because I'm walking. Now, what that story means is that man's so wrapped up in himself, he don't know where the world ends and where the whole, you know, emptiness of life begins.
What does that mean?
What does it mean?
Well,
you guys are good.
What does it mean?
It means that this man is so wrapped up in his big word that he don't forget it.
All right. Well, anyway, Craig, thank you so much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. What does that mean?
You know, if you want to, you two guys want to talk all this empirical this and that. I can tell you're real impressed with him. You probably want to go play golf with him. Go ahead.
I don't want to play golf with the guy. You know, that man thought you were kidding. That's how crazy your thinking is.
Everybody who has ever come up with a groundbreaking, you use the word groundbreaking a lot on your show, idea, think that I'm nuts. Everyone who come up with a good idea, everyone say they're nuts. Well, I'm not nuts. I take an autistic kid, I stick his head underwater. People say I'm hurting that child. Let me tell you what. I'm giving him a whole new setup of, you know, you talk about beer goggles. I'm giving him a wash tub goggle.
Well, beer goggles is a whole other thing. 877-876-PHIL. This is Sherry in Fort Worth, Texas. Sherry, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What can we do for you, Sherry?
Yeah, I just think that this person makes no sense at all. I mean, keeps talking about reorienting the kid into
exactly.
reality. I mean,
that's right.
And I bet
what are you kidding me?
Doesn't know about this or Sylvester Stallone. I bet they've never done that to their kids.
Well, how do you know? How do you know whether they know it or not? This is word of mouth.
What do you mean by word of mouth?
Yes.
If this is something
word of mouth, that's stupid. Word of mouth.
What are you talking about? You tell me.
There's too much, or it would be taught somewhere.
Well, why would you call that stupid? How do you think the Indian learned how to do things? What do you think the Indian did? They passed it down word of mouth. That's the same thing.
Well, word of mouth. I drive a truck and I hear all kinds of stuff on the TV. Word of mouth, and half of it don't make no sense.
Well, that don't mean that don't mean it wrong. It just means you don't understand it. See, have you thought of it that way? Yeah. See, you ought to turn that CB down, because I heard a truck driver one night talking all kinds of dirty talk to a girl, and I don't want to hear that.
Okay, Sherry, yeah.
I think it's an oral tradition.
It's an oral tradition, and like I said, that CB radio tell you a lot about that.
All right, Sherry, thank you very much. Excuse me?
Thank you.
Say what?
Thank you.
Is she still there?
No, I can't hear anybody. She's got a CB going. You're butting in. 877-876-PHIL with Courtney in San Antonio. Courtney, what's on your mind? And before you talk, I'm just saying that people don't get what you're saying about taking an autistic kid's head and sticking it underwater.
I never said I'd stick it underwater. I said I'd give it a quick dunk.
Go ahead, Courtney. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. What can we do for you, ma'am?
That's the same thing that interrogators use to shock them out of information.
No, no. See, there you go. I knew one of you people would call up and say it's waterboarding. I knew it. I had a bet.
I never said it was waterboarding. I said that's
well,
how they
you,
get
that's exactly what. That's exactly what you mean, though. And I had a bet with my sister. I said, you watch. One of these people are going to call up, and they're going to say it's waterboarding. Yeah, and it ain't waterboarding. It ain't never been waterboarding. In a month
it's
of sun, they have
waterboarding. It's trying to shock someone into seeing a different view. It's using water,
well,
which is also
yes,
a torture device. It is a torture device that is used, and it's been used through the ages for many, many different techniques to try and shock people, yes, but all it's done is it's actually mentally challenged them worse in some instances.
Well, I have to ask this question at this point of the lady, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
Have you ever been waterlogged or whatever you call it?
Yes, I have.
I could tell. You know why I could tell? Because I'm a teacher. And I've been around people that have had the water logging. And I could tell
we
had you
had we were trained to experience it so we know how to stay calm in that situation.
But,
and it's a terrifying
but,
situation.
You don't feel it damaged you at all? You don't feel it slowed you up at all or anything?
What do you mean?
I felt very sluggish. I felt very tired.
Yeah.
It's an excruciatingly and exhaustive experience.
Do you feel you suffered?
And it's very frightening.
Well, do you feel you suffered any permanent damage? Do you feel your head, you feel like you're,
I'm afraid
your mind,
to stick my head entirely underwater for too long,
there
yeah.
There you go. That's what I mean, Phil. This lady,
so
you're
going to be scaring this kid into being afraid of water more than anything.
Well, I think this lady is trudging through life like she's trudging through the shallow end of the pool. And I can tell from what she's saying that she got a waterlog.
What do you mean a waterlog? We're talking about waterboarding.
No, but this woman here is waterlogged.
What do you mean she's waterlogged?
She is, this lady here, this Courtney, is so, she's saturated. You're soaked through. Have you ever...
Everything
you like,
that you've been saying is filler words.
Do you like to drink water?
It's a technique that people use to fill in information.
Waterlogged.
They don't have prominent information
to
talk about.
No, wrong. I'm asking you a question. Do you like to drink water?
Love water. Drink it every day. I drink at least 4 bottles
well,
of water
I would not,
a day.
Well, then you can't be waterlogged if you was waterlogged. And
all right. The waterlogging is an entirely different topic. Courtney, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Visit our website, philhendryshow.com, to watch our live-streaming video every night. We'll be right back.
I have one more thing I want to say about waterlogged.
We're going to a commercial.
Oh, okay. Phil, go to your commercial. Aim in the air.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Just a couple of more minutes with Mavis Leonard talking about a very controversial technique for dealing with autistic children. All of this coming from this story in Montana about the abuse of this poor child. We have Sarah in Winston, North Carolina. Sarah, what can we do for you tonight?
I disagree with her 100%. I have worked with children, autistic children, for 8.5 years. She's doing that.
And you never heard the word of mouth. And you never heard word of mouth on this.
No, it will cause behaviors. It can trigger behaviors in some autistic children.
I would tell you a story about how Jesus, who lived, Son of God. You know how he cured like a crazy man or people all possessed by the demon. You know how he did that?
Yeah, I've got a brother that's a preacher. But one, Jesus healed people with water has nothing to do.
They
dunk
them in the water.
Has nothing to do with healing
they
children with
cured
autism.
The mad, all the crazy man with water.
We're not talking about Jesus, though, like the lady
We're
said.
We're talking about children with autism and you dunking their head in water.
Well, How do you know? How do you know that your methods are up to? How do you know your methods are up to date? How do you know your methods are?
Because it takes patience.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
See,
you don't.
I can see the improvement in them. It's called working with them and having the patience.
Well, I see improvements with my. I see improvements with my children, and I think you're jealous of the fact that I come up with a revolutionary way of treating.
Jealous of you mistreating a child with autism? Don't think.
And you never heard about it. Well, you're jealous because you didn't come up with it.
Oh, come on, Mavis. I mean, if this woman has not heard of it, that's one thing. Say that she's jealous.
Well, she has not tested the empirical, like that man was saying. Have you ever done that?
Have you? You haven't either.
What do you mean, have I?
Have you done the empirical work to figure out whether this is actually curing?
I know that it's curing people because when I pulled that kid's head up out of the water, he looked like he'd seen, man, he don't want to see that again.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And Sarah, I know you work hard, but I'm sorry. You got to live on the West Coast. That's where all the good work's being done.
Yeah. 877-876. Exactly. Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, she's choked
Visit
up
us
jealousy.
Online at Talk Radio Network.